And today I have Josh Scanlon with me. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Sarah.
So the reason, one of the reasons that I'm having Josh on is that he has a fabuloso YouTube channel. His firm is Heritage Wealth Planning, and Josh has, I mean, I'm looking here, 15,000 subscribers on YouTube. Way to go, buddy.
Thank you. Absolutely.
And yeah, for all of you advisors that are listening to this around the world, my goal for 2019 is to stop fighting Google, to stop fighting it in my own practice. And I'm doing a lot of things that I could tell you about, but also for my clients and all of the people that follow me, I want us to all understand that if you're fighting Google, you're fighting an uphill battle. And so I'd love to hear from you, Josh, as to what your experience has been. I mean, obviously 15,000 subscribers is no easy task to have achieved. How did you do it? Where did you start from? You know, because there's so many advisors that are these Google skeptics that are like, rich people don't use Google. On YouTube. My clients don't watch YouTube. Senior citizens don't watch YouTube. Okay, and I've refuted all these things in various ways, but I think they actually really need to hear it from someone who does get clients from this. But just tell me, where did you start? Like, why did you want to do this in the first place?
Well, first, let me say congrats on the new bouncing bundle of joy there, Sarah. Keep them coming. Social Security is relying on more children, so keep them coming, okay?
Thank you, yeah. So I was just telling Josh, for everybody, I, you know, have held off a little bit from announcing this, but I actually did have my baby number 4 this last week. You may be hearing from her later on the show. And thank you, Josh, for embracing that. I always get tons of like hate comments about people that are like, stop the kids in the background. But it's like, come on, like my life is a 3-ring circus and I'm just not even going to try to hide it. So I wanted to share it all with you. You may be hearing from her. She's only a week old. Forgive her, financial advisors. Okay. Thanks, Josh, for being cool.
Absolutely.
You have a lot of kids as well, I heard, right?
I got 4. I got one in college, one in high school, one in middle, and one in elementary. So it's life is good. So it's a good place to be.
And I mean, that actually is a lot smarter planning of the ages of the children. Like mine are all under 5 years old, which like I would actually be a great like subject for a nervous breakdown study. Like how much can someone actually take before they have a nervous breakdown? Because like I exhibit this like test every day. It sounds like that was like more intelligent. Kudos to you guys.
Well, the fact that you're still kicking and screaming at work with bouncing babies behind you, Sarah, is a testament to the human body and the human psyche. That when I was in the Army, you find out quickly that you can deal with a lot. You can deal with a lot of turmoil. Come out on the other side. I think people discount that in America because we're so affluent and we forgot what it's like to survive. All right. So back I'll tell you, I was working for USAA for many years as a wealth manager. They stopped our local suburban office and they moved us downtown Atlanta. And I sat there, Sarah, in the commute every day. There's only so many podcasts you can listen to before you finally say, I'm tired of this. I joined with a couple of different RIAs, thinking the RIA space was the way to go, the way of the future. And I just too independent, man. I said, I can't work for other people anymore. I'm 48 years old now, going on 49. This is last year. And I said, I just got to give it a go, do it myself. And the impetus is I was wanting to write a book, and my boss at my other firm, she wanted to give me all the stuff to say. I said, look, she just sees things differently than me, and I just had to leave. So
totally. I agree with you. I agree with that sentiment, by the way. But just for all of you advisors out there who are like feeling the same way as Josh, and even like myself when I was in, like, just do it, guys.
Yeah,
guys and girls, like, just leave. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times it's like the compliance at these places will kill you because – many times, Josh, and I love this concept you're bringing up here, the big brands, and I'm not going to say their names because I don't want them like coming after me here, but a lot of the big brands really don't want your brand.
No,
they want it to be your brand, right? I mean, think about how many millions and billions they spend on having themselves look a certain way. And
right.
Then want to do a makeover of your own stuff, ain't working for them. And just, if you're fighting this, everybody, like stop fighting it. Because you can
always never gonna change. And you can't blame the firm, Sarah. I mean, they gotta protect. They can't have a bunch of fly by night guys violating or devaluating their franchise that they spent so much money to engage in. So I don't blame the blank brand, but if you're independent at all and you're fighting, say, why can't compliance approve this? is because they're freaking scared. It's okay to recognize it. Just you'll never win. They're always going to win. Right. So if you want to have an independent voice, there's only one way to do that, which is break out from the herd. No other way around that.
100% agree. Okay. So there you are.
Yeah. So I finished my first book and I was pretty stoked. And it's funny because I did a YouTube search on borrowing from your 401k. Right? I said, I just want to see who's out there talking. It was one guy, a guy named Dustin Tibbetts out of Jazz Wealth. He was like the only one who said it's okay to borrow from your 401k. Everybody else, and I know a couple of these guys very well, and I'm very fond of the couple of these guys actually, but everybody else said the same stuff. And I said, you know, this is nuts. And then I started doing more research on various things. I said, the YouTube area has been ceded to insurance guys who are not licensed either through SEC or FINRA or anything like that. And so in real financial planning, there isn't any out there on YouTube because everyone on our side is so heavily regulated and compliant approved that we basically can't sneeze without getting a FINRA approved. And I said, screw that. We got to be able to, I mean, this is not good for consumers if they can't go on YouTube, which is the second largest search engine.
Pause there, everybody. Can you say that again, please?
YouTube is the second largest search engine, and it's owned by the largest search engine, which is Google. Come on. And it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out that Google is probably going to be more favorable to you if you're on YouTube because YouTube drives a significant amount of revenue on Google. Nuts. Anyway, so I started doing videos. I watched a guy named Miles Beckler, and everybody.
Miles, I love him. Yeah, I watch him too.
Yeah, no, that guy is huge impact on me. I've never met him, but I tell you, I love that guy. I watch everything, and long story short, I started doing some basic SEO and things of that nature, and I started doing. You know, so I was ready to go when I left my firm in March of last year, and I did the 90-day challenge, which is do a video a day for 90 days. To develop the habit, to develop the muscle. And Sarah, I freaking love it, man. It's like, it's a dopamine rush. So I do probably 4 videos a day, 5 videos a day now, cause I enjoy it immensely. And I'm just getting heavy traction. I mean, it's nuts. I've already got 2 million views after a year's time. I'm looking right now, about 15,600 subscribers. By the time we're done here, I'll probably, another 40 added just because it's crazy.
My YouTube channel grows like crazy also.
It's nuts because no one else doing it.
I don't do anything. I don't even do anything sometimes. I will say though that it can't be the normal, like, it can't be about you. Like, it can't be about here. I mean, you can have one video about here I am, I'm Josh, or here I am, I'm Sarah, but it can't be what every advisor wants to do.
No, I've been totally right.
We have been in business for 20 years. Like, it can't be a promotion. People are not interested in that. Okay.
And no one gives a crap. Literally, no one cares about. Sarah, I could not agree with you more. If you get up there in your freaking monkey suit and say, "I'm a certified financial planner," no one flipping cares.
No one flipping cares.
I mean, I'm a CFP. I don't ever say it. I don't ever get asked about it. I got a master's degree. I don't ever say it. No one ever asked about it. Not one time has someone said, "You didn't tell you if you're a CFP or not," because no one flipping cares. Stop with that credential stuff. It's boring and it turns people off. And I'm in my t-shirt. I do videos in a t-shirt and shorts. You know what I'm saying? No one cares about your stupid Italian suits. They don't care. It's nuts.
Yeah.
And I can hear people saying, "Oh, but Sarah or Josh, the rich people care." Okay. Yeah. Well, you keep believing that and you're seeding the field to me, because I'm telling you right now, I got to such a business point, Sarah, where I stopped taking clients. And
Are you kidding me? That's nuts. So after 1 year, you're not taking clients. Hold on. My baby's crying.
No, absolutely.
Pause. Hold on. That's nuts. So you're telling me that you set out to do this, and then within a year, you are not taking clients. And are clients coming from anything else other than word of mouth and YouTube?
Oh, it's nuts how many people I turn down. I turn down people every day. I mean, I probably turn down 4 people, probably 3 people. I'm looking at my emails today. So I open it back up for this month because actually I got bored, to be honest with you. I mean, I like talking to people. I like looking at their 1040. So I opened up for the month of April, and I charge $2,500 a plan or $500 to look at your 1040. And, and I'll do tax preparation, but just say, is there any capital? Just various stuff on the tax code, which I enjoy immensely because I was getting bored of not taking clients. So I opened up for 1 month and already got 8 people willing to pay $2,500 for a full plan and a whole bunch more willing to pay $500.
Wait, so are these rich people? Are these people with like over a million of wealth? Oh,
easily.
Holy smokes.
That's what makes it nuts. I tell you that our whole.
Okay. But see, here's the thing. Yeah. You're not, I would say, the average financial advisor in that you definitely, I mean, I can see that you're independent, and in your videos, you have like use humor and you have like over the top personality.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, so a lot of advisors aren't going to be willing to do that. Like you have a recession video with like, you have emojis, you have like yourself making, you have a big smile on your face, and then you have like a funny kind of like shocked expression on your face in one of these thumbnails. Like no advisors are going to do that. You're in a car. I love car blogs, car video blogs. Like you do video blogs on the car. What? I mean, was it always like this? Were you always kind of like this? Like
a when jokester? Yeah, life's too short. That's the thing when you have children. You can't help but be optimistic. I mean, if you weren't optimistic, you wouldn't bring 4 kids in the world. And so, you know, maybe it's my poor upbringing. I'll be perfectly honest. I think if you come from poverty, you're more willing to take risks because you recognize, hey, I was in poverty before and I survived. I hated it, but I was in it. And you're willing to take risks. And just, but at the end of the day, Sarah, I don't drive a Mercedes. If you want to drive a Mercedes, I literally don't care. I just, life's too short. It's too short to be upset, to let Trump or Obama, it's just too short. You got one life, man. Live it. And, but I guess I heard this guy, Alan Moore, who does the XY, and say again.
Yes, right.
Yeah, and he, in one of his podcasts, I was a brief member for XYPN for a little bit, but I stopped. But anyway, one of his podcasts, he said he went independent because he said at the worst case, and I always thought this was very important to me, he said, the worst case scenario is 2 years from now, it won't work, and I'll go back to the financial planning business and say, I tried my own business and it didn't work. No one's going to turn me away from hiring me because I tried it on my own. I said, that made a lot of sense, man. I said, we're so afraid if we fail that we're going to have to go, digging ditches or something like that. And I said, look, if you have good skill set, you're not an ogre and you go out in the business world for 2 years and it turns out, you tried and you failed. No one's going to sit there and say, Sarah, I don't want to hire you because you tried it and it didn't fail. They're still going to say, hey, in fact, if anything, you're going to be more hireable because it shows the entrepreneurial spirit to, as a go-getter to go out and get clients. And I just that was very important to me when I heard Alan say that. I said, that was kind of the icing on the cake for me to, kind of kick myself in the butt and give it a shot.
So how did you, in terms of getting this YouTube success, did you do any sponsored advertising or did you just keyword the titles and the content in the videos to make it rank higher in Google, or did you do nothing?
No, I absolutely did. I didn't do any sponsored advertising, but I do on occasion, I'll do a couple Facebook ads to bring attention to my books. I got a couple YouTube ads running right now. The irony, though, is everyone says, oh, your YouTube ads or your YouTube videos are too long. I've had everybody say that because my average is about 20 minutes. And it's funny because my watch time is through the roof. My average watch time is nuts. And that's what YouTube wants. They don't want these short 2 minute videos. They want long videos inherently. And just real quick, you got to think about it from YouTube's perspective. Where can they sell advertising more, to a minute and a half video or a 20 minute video? Even if a 20 minute video is only watched for 8 minutes, that's still better than a minute and a half video that is watched for a minute and a half. And so for me, I do a lot of in-depth videos, running tons of spreadsheets, running tons of different analysis and people. And so I have a whiteboard in my basement, I got spreadsheets, I use Right Capital software, and then my car. So I got 4 different ways to do it.
The car.
And you got to have a kind of a change of theater, if that makes sense. So like last night, I did a video on a financial plan for a 59-year-old single woman in New York. And it was a 32-minute video, and I got well over, 1,500 views. Actually, something like that, 1,500 views in the first 24 hours, which is good. You want that. If you can get a bunch of views, that will mean it's going to be a good video, even though it's long. It's 30 minutes long. But the reason that people like it, and by the way, my average age is in the 55 to 64 range.
So people, pre-retirees, do watch YouTube.
And they watch it, and I'm just telling you, I hear all the time, old people aren't on it, and old people won't, and people on YouTube won't watch long videos. And the answer is, keep thinking that. I wish people would keep thinking that, because that just makes more for me. They're wrong. They're absolutely wrong in that 100%. So old people, i.e., pre-retirees and recent retirees, they watch this stuff, Sarah, because it's so important to them. They want to make sure they don't screw it up.
Okay, so let's say that they go to, like, for example, you did Why Do a Roth. You did right. That four separate parts, like four different videos on that. If someone types that into Google, will your videos come up?
Well, let's do this. Go. I'm going to open up an incognito window right now. Always, if you're doing your keyword research, you always have to have an incognito window open. You know what that is?
Well, I probably do, but I don't know if I've heard it called incognito.
All right, so that just means you don't want, if you type in YouTube right now just through your normal browser, all the pixels and stuff, the cookies, if you will, they're going to know who you are. And if you go to do a search engine for your SEO search engine optimization, it's going to give you stuff that is not true to what you really is out there. So if Sarah Joe Schmo goes in and types retirement planning in YouTube, all right, that's going to give her a different list of videos that come up than you who just did it, because YouTube already knows who you are. Does that make sense? And you got to understand this. It's incredibly, incredibly important when it comes to SEO. You got to open an incognito window, because incognito means it doesn't track who you were, and it doesn't know what other sites you visited to, so it won't give you a suggested stuff based on your viewing history. You following that by chance?
Yeah, okay.
All right, so what I do is I go to incognito video, and I just want to type in, I'll do a YouTube, I'll go to Social Security, for instance. And I know what's going to happen is Devin Carroll will show up, because he's all over Social Security. And we'll see if any of my videos show up. I got a couple in there in the top 10. So if you type in Social Security, you'll see my man Devin, who I love. But then you also see a couple of my videos too in the top 10, which is where you want to be for sure. And the reason for that is because in your title, you have to type, do not, for the love of me, do not title episode 1, Going Fishing by the Park. No one searches for that, but people search for Social Security. So if you type in retirement planning, you'll find my video. Yeah, I got a bunch of videos on retirement. I'm right behind John Oliver. So you got John Oliver first, you're that guy from, I don't even know where he's from, and then you got me. And then he got me again. So basically,
that's YouTube or in Google?
In YouTube.
Okay, but does Google bring up any of your videos?
Now, see, here's why advisors make the mistake. Google is only going to give up people who have a huge page authority, and that's not going to be you or me. And the reason for that is because CNN, Forbes, the Balance, right, yeah. Rick Edelman, all these, Michael Kitsis, for instance. No one is going to have page authority very quickly in a blog or a Google. You're just not. So you can, and this is where I think people make a huge mistake on blogging. They think if they do a blog, it'll be seen. No one's going to see it, because you're being dominated by those firms who have the page authority, which will never be an independent blogger. The reason Kitz has got in there is because he started doing it a long time ago. He's been doing it for 15 years. And you're not Kitsis. And when I say you, sir, I'm talking to your audience, not you specifically. Mm-hmm. YouTube is different, though. YouTube is different because it's video. And so with video, because there's not that much from Vanguard has a couple videos, but they don't have that many. And because they don't know how to title them correctly, because Forbes doesn't have any videos, it's easier to break through the SEO, search engine optimization, via YouTube than it is for Google, because the competition is minimal. Does that make sense? And so, because of that, you type in retirement planning, and you see me in the, three of the top five are my videos, which is huge, because that's how people find me. And the only reason they do is because I do the search engine optimization. Make sure you title it correctly. Make sure you have a mini blog in the description. tags don't mean that much anymore. I'm just telling you right now, tags don't mean crap. I mean, there's not nothing wrong with having tags, but you don't need tags. You got to make sure the title is correct. You got to make sure you have a mini blog in the description. And ideally, you want a decent enough thumbnail to get clicks on as well. And if you do those three things, and you have a longer video that YouTube can make money on, there's a good chance you'll rise very quickly to search engine optimization.
And it can actually happen very quickly, I feel, because there's this suggested video feature. When I watch a video on how to construct this like baby carriage from the box, then I notice in the suggested videos, there's other videos about the same subject, but then they're also like there's some advertisements from people trying to sell me like Pampers because they know the baby. There's all kinds of stuff, all kinds of suggestion features. And if you have a good thumbnail, I would really emphasize the thumbnail. It can't be a boring thumbnail, but everyone does them. And see, that's why these big brands are like never going to be able to dominate on YouTube. They don't have the personality. They'll want to put in the title like, no offense to Fidelity, right? And I used to work at Fidelity, but like they would be like retirement planning tips from Fidelity.
Right.
Fidelity's retirement plan. And it's like, first of all, people are so turned off by that. They don't go to YouTube to watch Fidelity promotional videos.
But they also don't go to you to watch YouTube to watch your own promotional videos either. You see what I'm saying? So do me a favor. Are you on YouTube right now?
Yeah.
Type in this, Woodstock GA Dentist. Woodstock GA Dentist. I'm going to show you how flipping easy it is to get on the top page of the search engines.
How long were they? Hold on. Let me, before I do that, how was the Army for you? Because, I mean, I've never been in the Army, but I have had relatives that were in the Army, and I do find that it really created a specific mindset that I find to be very admirable.
Well, I went, you know, I barely graduated high school. I was shocked that I actually could graduate high school. and I had nothing.
Are you from the Northeast? I'm from a suburb of Boston. Are you from?
I was from Maine originally. Okay. And then I moved to DC area, when I was, I guess, 14. So my dad was, when my folks split up, my dad was still in Maine till I was about 10. Then he moved to DC and then, you know, family issues. So I ended up living with my dad literally in DC,
But did you stay a Red Sox fan?
Say again?
Did you remain a Red Sox
fan? The Bruins, the Sox, Pats, apps. I've never been a Celtics fan, but the Bees, the Sox, and the Pats. It's been a great two decades. That is nuts, man.
Right.
I still remember Wade Boggs crying in the dugout against the Mets. And my wife went to BC for graduate school. Snow was killing us, man. It was killing us. We said, let's get the hell out of here. And we moved to Phoenix for a while, and we just bounced around a lot. But no, the Army was
one thing. I want to know, what was the number one thing that you feel is applicable to your work as a financial advisor that you learned in the Army? Mental toughness.
Yeah, I just I don't care. I you see what I'm saying? It's like, I mean, I'm sorry, but we're in the most affluent society in the history of the world. I mean, literally, we are living better today than kings could dream of even just 100 short years ago. And to be pessimistic, I just don't get it. And so when you go in the Army, went to Panama and Honduras, all, you know, you see the poverty everywhere, and you come back states, you're like, what the hell am I so negative for? I mean, we've got it made here, and all, you know, we've got it made in America. I find
there is a certain safety net where, you know, chances are you wouldn't end up poor. Like being poor in Honduras is different from being poor in the United States.
If you're poor in the United States, and this is one of my things on my YouTube channel, is I say you can absolutely retire solely on Social Security. And going back to Fidelity, they have that Fidelity study that you need $300,000 a year into retirement for healthcare and stuff. And the negative Nellies on financial planning about, oh my God, and Susie Orman, God, we need $10 million to retire. It's absolutely ludicrous to say that. And then when you start running the numbers that say the median household income is $60,000 a year, that's the median. So you take out FICA, you take out your 401k, you take out your federal and state taxes. That means you're probably living on $50,000 a year. Now, if you can generate $30,000-$35,000 a year in Social Security, that means you only need $15,000 a year on top of that, which isn't $10 million. And then Susie Orman will say, yeah, but you need to go to nursing home. I said, what is the, I mean, give me the evidence that says the mass amount of people go to nursing homes. And there is no evidence of that. None. We look at an EBRI study that says the exact opposite. You look at numbers from the BLS, Bureau of Labor Statistics, the exact opposite. The numbers are overwhelmingly in favor of just regular folks retiring comfortably, never mind the fact that people spend less. And I sit there, I say, why is it that we're so freaking nervous in this society when we have so much? And I just, so my whole focus there is to tell people to quit their crappy old jobs and freaking get out there and make a difference with what you've, now I'm a Christian, so what God has provided, you live in the States, it's nuts. And everyone's like, oh, I got to go to my corporate job because I need $10 million, according to Susie Orman. I just, kills me.
Okay, so the moral of the story is be grateful, be an optimist. Don't be a pessimist. Yeah, I think people can see that. And actually, that relates to what I think you've done very well. And one of the reasons you've been so successful being a YouTube personality, because, you know, for those of you listening to this that are not getting great results on social media, people can tell.
Yeah.
They can see your energy. They can see the authenticity. And I think one thing you do is you come across as very authentic, because there is a certain element of I tell it like it is and I don't care. Not everybody has that ability, but just so you know, that's what really people can connect with. This is a normal guy. This is someone who's going to talk to me in a real way. And it takes away, it helps to disarm them a little bit, because they feel like this could be my neighbor. Like this could be soccer game that I'm sitting there talking to. And it's not some spiel, which is the opposite, I feel, of branding in the financial advisor space. And it's an anti-brand. And is the reason so many people are not going to succeed. But you kind of got to be willing to, you know, maybe push it a little bit, or like maybe, I mean, I'm sure you've gotten hater comments on YouTube, like
all the time.
And like, I mean, I've had it all said to me also, like some way or another. Anyways, okay, Woodstock GA.
Yeah. Okay. So Woodstock GA dentist. And what you're going to find is, and you know, I mean, you don't have to, I just will share this with you. I did a test run to see if I could place a video in the top three search engine results page. And just literally, and the reason I did that is because I wanted to show people, and I did a video on this, that if you just title, you don't have to have a freaking thumbnail. You just have to title your freaking episode correctly. And you'll notice that there's one that's Heritage Wealth Planning is number two, at least according to my incognito browser. And the reason for that is because everyone screws up what YouTube is looking for. They screw up the titling. You title your videos correctly. You have a description with that title in the first sentence. And that is basically 85% of SEO, search engine optimization. No one gives a crap about your take on the financial markets, but they do give a crap about should they be worried about the financial markets. No one gives a crap about your 20 years as a CFP. What does this CFP? No one cares about that. But they do worry if they're going to need to run out of money because they planned it correctly. You see what I'm saying, Sarah? And if you just title it correctly with a good video that's informative but also entertaining, remember, YouTube people are watching. I mean, I go to YouTube and I watch some of these financial guys. I just want to kill myself. I'm like, oh, my God, man. Have some freaking personality. It's okay. It's okay to be yourself. You know what I'm saying? And
No, but they worry about. But people worry about credibility.
No, that's the scarcity mode, and you got to get out of that. I'm just telling you right now.
Okay, wait. What do you mean by that?
Well, this is what pisses me off. Oh, I guess I cussed, but this is what ticks me off about. You had written a video, or you had written a post on why Amazon is threatening of wealth management. I could not agree. I mean, I think that's spot on. Could not agree more. And frankly, I hope it's the case. The reason why Amazon is a threat to wealth management isn't because wealth management is bad. It's because we don't disclose what our fees are. We're so afraid to disclose anything that people might turn away. And I sit there and I say, you're going to have to disclose your fees on the one point or the other. Are you really want to waste somebody's time to have them come into your office, give you all this stuff, then you're going to wow him with your prowess as an investor? Because you're not going to do it, man. So might as well just nip down the bud right up front and say, I'm going to differentiate myself between the people who need me by showing them I believe my value is worth whatever your fees are. If you don't believe those are value, then of course you want to hide them. But if you think there's a value in your 1% AUM, and heaven forbid if you do, because I don't believe it, but if you do, that's fine. then you should show that up front. It's nuts not to do this because no, I mean, I did a video where I looked at, this is NAPFA. I looked at, and I have my audience too look at, we probably easily over 100 NAPFA websites of, this is NAPFA. This isn't, you know, the wirehouses. This is NAPFA. The purest of the pure, supposedly. And only, I'd say far less than 10% of them, Sarah, disclose their fees up front on the front page of the website. You had to literally dive into the SEC ADV to find their fees. I said, this is nuts. This is nuts. No wonder why everyone is skeptical of the business, because they're saying.
I mean, I always say it when I do a website for somebody. I always say, can we put the fees on the website? And then, yeah, I mean, say it's really the minority of advisors who are willing to do that. And most of them will say, this is what they say. They say, yeah, I'll think about it.
Because they don't value their own fees. I mean, literally, if you value your fees, you say, I'm worth $2,500.
No, that's what I mean. I got my fees on my website.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Why? Because you know it's worth it.
People calling me up thinking that I'm going to write a blog for them for $50.
That's right. Exactly.
I'm not going to find out until halfway through the conversation. And I'm always like feeding the kid.
Right.
I got the school calling me. Someone needs Tylenol. Like, I don't have time for this.
No, it's nuts.
Go on Fiverr. Like, I feel like it's just not wasting my time or theirs.
And the people are going to be gravitated more towards you because you're differentiating yourself. She says, well, Sarah tells me what the fees are up front. That's either too much for me, which I'm not going to waste her time. But guess what? If your fees are on there, it's still too much for them once they find out. You see what I'm saying? It's
if like, they want to do it themselves, they want to do it themselves. Like, I mean, I'll admit, I'm a DIY on certain stuff. Like, some people have come to me. Like, one guy once was like, oh, I could write you a press release. And I'm kind of like, I'm not a press release expert, but I was like, I'll write it myself. Like, I'm a professional writer, you know, like no one's selling me press release services. I'm a DIYer on that,
yeah.
But I'm not going to go bothering you. I'm not going to go on your website and have a conversation with you. And then halfway through be like, no, it costs more than 3 cents. I ain't doing it.
Right. Because you're like, why don't you just tell me up front? We could have saved each other time.
Yeah, and like, see, this is front. I think people, that's what people don't like about financial advisors is, I mean, even like I had someone in my family that was going looking for a financial advisor, and this person was like a Merrill Lynch rep. I mean, sorry, yeah. Merrill, if I'm saying this, like, but they, and this person, and not every rep from Merrill does this. I'm not saying, I'm not making a statement.
Right,
from Merrill,
understood.
But this was a commission only person, but also, I think she was blended. And I'm like telling my relative, I'm like, this person doesn't have to act in your best interest if they're doing commissions. And then, see, here's the thing is people get so confused, right?
Like, no.
They couldn't even practically even understand it. But then that's where the danger comes in because, you know, he's like, no, she said she was a fiduciary.
Yeah.
It's like, but she's not really. And then it was this whole thing. Eventually he went with a fee-only person. Now, no offense. Like, by the way, I have clients that are commission brokers. Like, no offense to anybody, but be clear about what you charge and how
that's,
you charge it.
Absolutely. And that's that. I tell you, that's my huge
pet. Like, don't go on and preach about it. Oh, I'm fee only. I'm better than everybody else. Like, I don't know if I buy that either.
No, Sarah, please. That my pet peeve. Now, I would much rather have a guy at Ed Jones charging 2.5% upfront for American funds than some freaking fiduciary, quote unquote, who hides their fee only. And they say they're fiduciary and they're transparent, but they don't show their fee. That's what I'm telling you. That ticks me off, too. I'm like, wait a second.
Right.
You're holding yourself out as holier than thou. You're a fiduciary. You don't, you know, charge for products, but yet I can't find your fee to save my life, and you're going to charge 1.25% on, let's say, $500,000. I said, I don't buy that fiduciary crap as far as I can kick it. I'd much rather have an Ed Jones guy sell me a freaking investment company of America at 2.5% front end. You see what I'm saying? That I would take that commission any day of the week.
But it's just like, be clear with people. Because
absolutely.
That's what I think many times we get like so hopeful that people won't understand or they won't ask too many questions or they won't get confused. But the thing is, like, people can, when you're straight with people, like, just if you want to go on YouTube, like, go on YouTube, do your blogs, whatever you do in your marketing, just be straight as the day is long and just make it so that there can be no confusion with whatever you're saying, because like, people get that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But don't preach.
Well, I think
that's not a marketing pitch. Like, I'm a fiduciary, I'm Fiomi. That's not a marketing pitch.
That doesn't mean anything. That means nothing. People don't care because they don't know what it means. And they said, I don't. That's like you say, I'm a CFP. Who cares?
They get all caught up.
No, it's nuts. And they sit there.
That and they sit there and want me to write like 25 blogs about it and then like want to fire me if I don't write 25 blogs about it. It's just, gotta tell you, it's tough. All right, well, listen, we're going on and on here. This has been great, Josh. Love having you on the show. So yeah. Tell me, just to conclude, what would be the three things that you would leave people with before we wrap?
I think they need to get the hell out of there working for somebody else. First of all, Sarah, the amount of clients available are freaking phenomenal.
But people don't think that. People don't think that.
They're wrong. I'm just telling you, because I'm telling you, as we sat here today in this call, I got an email right now that said, I'd like to talk to you about a consultation. And now I'm going to tell that guy, here are my fees. I got it very clearly on my videos. If you want to pursue that, that's great. That's great. But they know exactly what they're getting. That way I'm not wasting my time. That way I'm not wasting his time. And what will happen is they're going to decide on their own without me wasting my time, or I have to give them some bait and switch. And so,
I think the first thing is don't be scared to be independent, because understand that if you have more freedom, that you can reach these people in droves. And just like the clear evidence is you started your firm a year ago doing all these creative independent things, and now here you are, you're turning people down. Like, you are in such a power position.
And Sarah, the most important thing is I'm flipping happier as I've ever been. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I am happy because I'm sitting here in my t-shirt and shorts. I haven't shaved, and I'm still getting clients. Not that, because no one cares. They're just saying, I trust this guy. He's honest with me, and I like what he does, and I think that he knows what he's talking about. They don't ever ask about your fiduciary, your CFP. They don't ever ask about that. They just trust you.
Because you've already established that kind of honesty.
Exactly. That's where YouTube comes in, because I hear it all the time. Josh, I feel like I know you because you're in my bedroom every day. That sounds weird. But they're watching on YouTube, on TV. They're watching on their computer. I feel like I know you like a good friend because I see you every day. You see what I'm saying?
That's right. Yeah. I love this. Okay. One. Two. So the first one is don't be afraid. There are clients out there. There's no scarcity of clients. Go. Don't be afraid to be independent. Two, I would say be authentic on YouTube, because people can tell, and it eliminates a lot of the questions and the fears that people put up as a barrier. And then what would be the third one? Maybe it's like some more technical kind of tips.
Yeah. Real quick on the authenticity thing, that is very cliched anymore. And I think people are saying, oh, I'm authentic, and they're not. Be authentic means tell stories about yourself, man. You see what I'm saying? I mean, tell stories. It's okay to let people know from your background. I mean, hell, I tell them, I got a thing on my FINRA. I tell them all, which is why I can't stand FINRA, because it's such a freaking joke that it's made up. But I tell people all the time, you can look me up, I don't care. But people like to hear that you have a background of a regular guy or lady. They like to hear that. They want to hear about your stuff, your trials and tribulations. So be authentic, but really authentic, not just like, and then on a technical thing, the biggest one is the taxes. People don't, financial advisors who don't talk about taxes are not financial advisors. That's all there is. I'm sorry. It's just all there is to it. Uh-huh. You need to have discussions, not because no one gives two craps about your investments. I'm telling you, Sarah, those days are gone that you can, we all know this, but the idea now you're going to pick some ETFs and still keep your 1% fee. People are onto you, man. They're not going to hire for that. They are going to hire you if you talk about stuff that a lot of other people aren't, which is taxes and Social Security and Medicare. If you can learn those three things, promote taxes, promote Social Security, promote Medicare, no one else is doing it. I mean, there are a few, but, Devin Carroll, a lady I just interviewed the other day for my own podcast, Danielle Howard from Medicare, Baby Boomers. Very, very, very few people are talking taxes, Medicare, and Social Security. And those are the big three things that people are concerned with. They're not concerned about their modern portfolio theory, the 4% rule. They're concerned about those things. So if you can talk about that in an entertaining yet well-understood way, you'll make headway. I guarantee it. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Okay, good. Well, Josh, thank you so much.
Yes, Sarah, my pleasure. Take care of those babes. We got to keep them coming. We're relying on you.
Oh, no, I'm done.
Yeah.
I can't fit any more kids. I'm going to have to, like, Just set up a bed on the roof or something. It's like I only have two hands here, you know. All right.
Thanks for having me, man. Your Boston accent was coming through a little bit, just a little. That made me miss home, I'm telling you. So I heard it coming through a little bit. You haven't quite. What's that?
It does a little bit, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Which is good stuff. Hey, right. We'll see you, Sarah. Thanks,
Anne. Bye.
Bye-bye.